Luke chapter 19, if you would. Luke chapter 19 is where we're at this evening. And I'll tell you that since the last passage that we looked at, there's been a number of things that have transpired. If you understand the geography that we've been going through, Jesus is going to end up in Jerusalem, where he is going to go to the cross. And so he's going to end up there, and he's on his way there. We're talking about the last days in which we find Jesus. Now, when I say days, I'm not talking about necessarily less than a week. I'm talking about the last months that Jesus is here. And so Jesus has made his way up to Galilee in that area for the last time, and he is going to confront some people there, and then he moves down. The Bible says that he went to the area beyond Jordan, and so probably he came down. Now, just you try to picture it yourself. You remember where Galilee is and that area of Galilee. He's going to then come down through probably the region of Galilee, make his way through. You know, I don't know if he again came through Samaria, and then he makes his way down just above the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea. If you can picture that, there's a city up just above that on the Israel side of things. Anybody know what city that is? If you just go just north of the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, there's a bigger city on Israel's side, and that's Jericho. We're going to talk about Jericho in just a moment. But he goes onto the other side in the Transjordan area, and he does a few things there, comes back across, and where we're at now, Jesus is going to be making his way through Jericho, then out of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And so that's where we're at right now. Where we find the story of Zacchaeus is on his way right through Jericho. Okay? And so just to put you in context of where we're at, Luke chapter 19 is Jesus going through Jericho. My family wanted us to sing "Zacchaeus Was a Wee Little Man" tonight, but we're not going to do that. But Zacchaeus was a wee little man, but it's an interesting story that the song goes through. But there's a lot of neat things about the one that Zacchaeus met that day that are interesting. And so tonight I want to look at Jesus who met Zacchaeus there that day. Funny story, where we find a shorter man wanting to see Jesus, climbing a sycamore tree and climbing up in that tree so that he can see Jesus. And then the Lord finding him, and the rest is history. Go to his house, and Zacchaeus trusts Jesus as his Savior. Neat story. Let's go ahead and read it. Luke chapter 19. I believe this is the only gospel that has the story. Luke 19, 1 to 10. I'm going to read through the verse 10 verses. Then we're going to look at four or five points that we see about Jesus in this passage. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much is he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So there's the little story of Zacchaeus. It's what we know right there. Now, what can we see about Jesus through this? As I mentioned, I'll give you a couple things right here that you need to look at. Number one, God always blesses the seeker. God always blesses the seeker. Notice what was said about Zacchaeus in verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Did Zacchaeus really know what he was looking for? I don't think so. But obviously he had heard about Jesus. Obviously he had some news of who this man was. And he so desperately wanted to get a glimpse of him to see, is this probably, you know, is what they say about this man true? He sought, so he was a seeker, he was seeking to see Jesus, who he was. It doesn't say that he was looking for salvation. It doesn't say that he wanted to pick apart his faults. He just wanted to see who he was. Who is this man? I would say a lot of people that are seeking Jesus don't necessarily always know what they're going to get into, but the Bible tells us that he's given to us a general revelation to declare something, someone unto us generally of somebody that has something much, much more to give. When we look at revelation in the Scriptures, there's two types of revelation. We have general revelation and we have special revelation. The first is general revelation. General revelation are the things that God has generally revealed to all mankind. They're things that everybody can step out and see from the creation. Things that God has done. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 19 what? The heavens declare the glory of God. And also the firmament showeth His handiwork. Is it difficult to go outside and to see that there is a God? It's pretty easy, isn't it? It's not hard. We don't have to go out there and prove Him. I want to tell you something. You can go out there and say and see that there must be something higher than this. Oh, the intricacies of the creation, the complexity, the smallness. And more than the smallness, the vastness. You know that? I'm amazed at the smallness of life. This year in school, the kids, the older couple, are doing some different science, and we had to get a microscope, and they're looking at these little things that are crawling around, you know, under that. And you've all probably looked through a microscope, and you see, and you know that there's much more than what the eye sees in life, right? You know, you take a drop of water, you know, that you got out of wherever, whether it's, the spigot there in your house, or whether you go to the local pond and you take some water out there. What are you going to see in that water? Living organisms, right? You know, you look at that water, and we don't like to think about that. Some of you are like, all right, little pastor, don't make me sick, you know. Guess what? It's in everything. You know, there's living organisms everywhere. But if you're a little weak of stomach, it's going to maybe test you a little bit when you go take the microscope and you put that, you know, that drop, and you put that slide over it and you put it under that microscope, and all of a sudden you see these little worm-like creatures, right? And these little other little things that are like zooming around doing business. And you're like, that's in the water that I drink? That's when those things are coming inside of me? And of course, there's all kinds of things. You know, it's amazing what the littleness of God's creation, isn't it? Would you agree? I mean, that God has made a creation that is so, 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 so small. And, you know, my kids know more than I do about science now, and they're talking about the electrons and the protons and the neutrons and these trons and those, you know, they're talking about all this stuff. And I'm trying to go back to 10th grade, you know, and thinking, you know, oh yeah, I remember that name, and what was that, you know, and what do they do? And it amazes me, the smallness of God's creation. God cares about small things, doesn't He? But do you know, for the amazing thing of the smallness of God's creation, they say, and I can only go according to what they say, but the vastness of the bigness of God's creation outdoes the littleness. The bigness, the big things are even more incredible than the little things. how big it is and how intricate and how, but yet how ordered it is. That you've got to have the right degree and the right this and the right makeup of everything to make everything work. Has man come up with some amazing advances on in humanity? Has he not? I mean, man has done an amazing amount. I think we would all agree. You know, if you've probably said this between you and your husband or wife or whatever in your family, you've probably said this, if some of the people, you know, if Noah could come back today and see the technology that we have today, he would be, you know, amazed. What in the world is going on? It's amazing what man has been able to do, but I want you to take just a moment and think what man has been able to accomplish and compare it to what God has done. Is there any comparison? To think so would be to have your head buried in the sand. And the very sand that our heads could be buried in would even amaze us of God's love for us. I want to tell you something. There is no comparison. When you look at God's general revelation, it must point man to Creator. And I'll tell you, the only reason, I've said this so many times in here and I'll keep saying it, the only reason why man does not want to admit it is because it would make him accountable to somebody higher than him, which he doesn't want to give up. Do you understand that that's why the world will not admit to creation and God? They do not want their sin to be condemned. If they can eliminate a higher being, if they can eliminate a holy and just God, then they can do what they want to do. But they cannot, but you cannot do it. But they're doing everything they can to prove it. But I want to tell you something. Any person that is out there, I believe that God has put it with them, that they understand that there's got to be something out there that is more powerful than any man. They choose not to believe it. It's their own will in which they say no. They won't believe it. And that's a problem. General revelation is out there, but general revelation cannot save an individual. Do you understand that? You cannot look at a tree and the intricacies and come to Jesus and understand that He died for your sin, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that you could have eternal life. You cannot do that by looking at a leaf. But the leaf, the general revelation, can point you to something that created that leaf that has the answers to the universe. And that's what the general revelation does. And we praise the Lord for His general revelation because it gets us interested. Zacchaeus is interested in, and I cannot say, I don't know if it was general revelation, but he's interested in a man. He's interested in what he's heard. It's given him an interest. I want to tell you something, folks, and that's what's wonderful about God here. God always blesses seekers. If somebody wants to find Him, then they can find Him. It's the person that does not want to find Him, that has rejected anything else, that wants to follow his own way. Whether a person in America or in a person in Africa, the only reason why mankind goes to hell is because they choose to reject God. And Jesus, they choose to. That's the way it is. The interesting thing is Zacchaeus was a seeker. He wanted to find out more. He had heard, he had seen something, I don't know what it was. It doesn't say what Zacchaeus had come into. It's the special revelation, though, and that's the second type of revelation, which special revelation is God declaring Himself through Jesus, and which is the Word and His written Word. This is the special revelation that God has given. And this revelation is the revelation that God has given to us, that we can come to know Jesus Christ, that we can have eternal life, that we can be saved. That special revelation. General revelation helps us to desire to seek. And as we seek, He will give us His special revelation so that we can find Him. And then we have a decision to make. Will we accept it or not? Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13. So God gives mankind things for them to seek. When we seek, then God blesses. God will bless the seeker.
Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13 tells us, "And ye shall seek me, and what? Find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." When a person wants to know who this Jesus is, when a person wants to know about this Creator, when a person desires it, God is not going to withhold Himself. "No, I know you're seeking me. I know you want to find out the truth, but I will not give you the truth." That is not God. But now, isn't that a blessing? Because it's not just for salvation, folks. Everybody listen to this. It's not just for salvation. When you want to know about God, when you want to know what's right, when you want to find out about God, God is not going to hide Himself and say, "Okay, Sean, you're want to seek me, but I'm going to do everything I can to avoid you. I'm going to run away from you. I'm going to mask myself in something different. I'm going to do everything I can to run away from you." That is not God. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes in our lives we treat God that way, that God wants to make things so miserable and difficult. But yet it comes back to that same thing that we ask about us and about all mankind. Do we truly want to know Him? So many people are scared to truly know Him because it's going to end their way of life. "I don't want to find out about it. I don't want to read the Scriptures. I don't want to, because if I know if I do, it's going to expose me." That's the same mentality that the world does. And so what they do is they push God out. "No, I will say no to that." I'll tell you, but God blesses the seeker. The person who wants to know God, He is going to make Himself known. Wow. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and it braideth it not, and it shall be given him." Now, this is a great lesson about God's blessing. God blesses seekers. So what does that mean for us? You ought to be a seeker, but how can we follow Him in His steps with this? How can we also bless those that are seeking? Did you hear that? We're following Jesus in His pattern. God blesses those that seek. And there He was, and He blessed that individual. You know, Zacchaeus wanted to find out, and did Jesus make His way to that guy? He did. He did. Willfully. He passed under that tree, and He looked up. He had a plan for that guy. You know, we need to also follow Jesus in His steps and bless those that are seeking also. Have you ever been around somebody that wanted to find the answers? You know, and if we're going to be like Jesus, we ought to bless that. We ought to bless people that want to find the truth. You know what? You're hungry for learning about this? Well, let me help you know. We need to identify those who want to learn. Are there people in life who don't really want to learn? There are. There are people who don't really care about... In fact, you try to tell them something and they don't want to listen. You know what? God says in His Word, you look at the book of Proverbs, find somebody that does want to learn. Find somebody that wants to listen. But brothers and sisters, when we find somebody that is eager to hear the truth, that's where we need to go and take advantage of it. And let's bless those people as well. Let's teach them something. And by the way, this can be in anything. Spiritual things. You know, you find somebody that's hungry, then try to fill the need and try to help them. Now, we don't go to them in pride and tell them, "Oh, let me tell you all I know." But I think that we ought to say, you know what, here's identify a seeker. Here's somebody that really likes to soak things up, and I want to pour myself into them and be a blessing to them to learn. It doesn't just have to be about spiritual things. You know what, I have challenged you folks, the older generations here, so many times. I'm going to challenge you again. We've got young people in it, and I don't know how teachable they are and how much they want to know and how much they're seeking, but I want to tell you something. You need to assume that these young people are seekers, and you need to bless them with what God has given to you. You need to take them under your wing and show them and teach them, "Look at what God has done for me." And I'll tell you, you'll be able to identify right away if they want to learn. And I would submit to you, if they don't want to learn, well, that's going to be their deal. But I'll tell you what, there are some young people that might really want to learn what God has done for you in your life. And I believe it's our responsibility to bless those people as well. Invest yourself in people that want to find out. And that's what Jesus did. Who was a group of people that continually were with Jesus and they wanted to find out about Jesus, but it was very clear they did not want to learn? Who was that? The Pharisees, right? Those people did not want to learn. Most of them did not. There was a few. But most of them did not want to learn. But there was a few. And there were some. And what Jesus did is he did not, honestly, he spent his time, you know, a little bit with those people, but he left and he went and he found those people that were seeking. And he invested his life into those people that wanted to learn. And I submit to you, we need to find those people and bless those people and try to help them in their lives. I submit to you three things. We need to pray. This is not the first time you've heard this. Pray for opportunities. Who could I be a blessing to today? Did you drive under the church property today asking for God to help you to be a blessing to somebody? Who could I help? Who could I encourage? Who could I help that wants that help? We need to pray about that. God, would you give me somebody to invest myself in? Second of all, we need to be looking to identify who out there could use some help. Who out there is eager to learn that I could be a blessing to that wants it? God, would you help me to know? Thirdly, step out by faith. Take that step and be a blessing to that individual. Not just for salvation, but anything. Folks, anything. We need to help people. Look at verse 5, Luke 19:5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Notice how Jesus found him. Zacchaeus was searching. He wanted, you know what, an all-knowing Jesus knew where he was going to be, and he made his way right there under that tree and he looked up. Why? Because Jesus seeks out people that want to know. And he knew this man did. And we need to be following Jesus in his steps. Let's seek out people who want to learn, who want to know, and then let's step out by faith and help them. All right, so number one, God always blesses the seeker. I want you to see a second thing. Same verse, Luke 19:5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Number two, God can orchestrate events so that things can happen that way. I want to tell you something. God can orchestrate events to fulfill that desire to help other people. God can do things to bring you to that place. Now, I just gave you those three things. Pray, identify, and take the step of faith. That's really what I'm talking about. How did it happen that Jesus walked under the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus was? I'll tell you, it's because he's an all-knowing sovereign God that wanted to bless. God is in control and he can do the impossible to bless people with himself and the truth. He knows that. Do you know that God knows the people in Elizabethtown and Mount Joy that need the truth tonight? Do you think that? Does God know all the people that need to be saved? What do you think? Of course he does. Because he's an omniscient God. He knows everything and he knows everyone. God knows all those people that need the Lord. Do you know all the people that need the Lord? I don't. I do not. So how are we going to find them? Somebody tell me, how are we going to find them? I'll tell you what, we're going to need to pray for them. We need to pray that God, that's a start. We've got to start by praying. I'm going back through what I just gave you. We've got to pray. We've got to pray that God would orchestrate. Let me ask you a question. Could God orchestrate you walking under a sycamore tree that somebody is seeking? Now, I don't know if it's going to be a sycamore tree. Could God orchestrate you this week to walk by somebody that needs to hear the truth and that is seeking God's truth? Could God do that? Does that sound like something that God would will? What would prevent it? You have not because ye ask not. I want to tell you folks, I wonder if the reason why we don't get more opportunities, Pastor, I just never come in contact with anybody that doesn't know the Lord. I just don't do it. You know, in some of our lifestyles, you know, most of us, we do get opportunities. But there are some that, you know, that don't get out into the world very much because they don't work out there. Maybe they're still at home, children, whatever, and just don't have that opportunity. But I'll tell you something. I believe that if we would pray for it, God would love, of any prayer request that we could ask that I know God would love to answer, that would be one. Because we remember back to this morning, what was the will of the Father? To seek and to save that which was lost, right? And that was the mission of Jesus. Well, if that is the mission of God the Father and fulfilled through the Son Jesus Christ, given in commission to the church, wouldn't God love to answer that request? God, would you allow me this week to go by? Did Jesus happen? When I say happen, in the true sense of the word, did he just happen to go under that sycamore tree? No, it was planned, folks. It was planned. God knew that there was a seeker, and he went under that sycamore tree, and he looked up and said, today, this is your day. You're going to be saved. Because there was a seeker. It was easy to identify. There he was. We're not God, though. We don't know. But what we need to do is ask. We need to ask. Lord, would you please send somebody by me this week? Would you open up a door of opportunity? God, would you please give me somebody? I want to meet a seeker. I want somebody that's ripe and ready. There's got to be people in Elizabethtown. There's got to be people in Mount Joy. There's got to be people in wherever you live. There's got to be people around you that don't know. But I don't know them, God. Would you please bring those people by my way or take me by their way? And I believe if we don't have those opportunities, it's because we're really not seeking that. And I would flip it and say, God blesses seekers. God blesses us when we seek His people as well, those people that need to be saved. And the second point is God can orchestrate events so that you can happen to meet those people. And it wouldn't be my mistake that you met them. I told you about Josh. It was not a mistake that Ezekiel and I met Josh that day. It was not a mistake. God put that guy right there. And God enabled circumstances for me to continue to reach out to him. And God is continuing to put opportunities in my life to reach out to that man. And you pray for Josh. But if we pray for it, God's going to do it. Because he's in control. And he can do the impossible to bless people with himself and his truth. But we need to pray and we need to trust him by faith for our witnessing opportunities. God, I'm trusting you this week that you're going to give me somebody. I think if we'd all make that decision, God would give us somebody this week. Now, whether we take the step of faith and do it or not, I don't know. But I believe that God would give us somebody this week that we should reach out to. But God can do that. God can do that. I want you to see a third thing. Look at verse 7 in Luke 19. Now, what was the response of the other people? And when they saw it, now again, Zacchaeus, you know, hurry up, come down. I'm going to go and abide at your house today. And Zacchaeus responds in verse 6. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He was excited. He was a seeker. He wanted to find out who Jesus was. And so you can almost picture it. He comes down really quickly. He crawls down out of this tree and there he is. And the two walk off together. And what do we find the rest of the crowd doing? Now let's stop. Who was Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector. What group of people was he helping? The Romans. Not a popular person in the area. Now, he was wealthy. He had a lot of means. But I tell you what, he was helping, in the minds of these Jewish people, he was helping the crooked. He was helping crooked people. He was helping to this, so the rest of the Jewish people were like, this guy, no, he's not good. And then Jesus says, you know, you can almost watch their mouths drop as Jesus stops and look up at Zacchaeus in that tree. And, you know, you can picture Zacchaeus up there sitting down, you know, just looking down at Jesus. And Jesus stops and looks up at Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, why don't you come down? Hurry up, come down, because I want to go, you know, I want to go spend some time with you in your house today. Can you imagine the rest of these people? Like their response. What are you doing? What are you doing spending time with that guy? There's a lesson to learn here, folks. Are there people out there that some people would look at us and like, why would you spend time with them? Those are the down and outers. Those are the people that have, they're not like us. I want to tell you something. God is not above anyone when it comes to salvation. In other words, he's not a respecter of persons. Sometimes it's easy to want to witness to those people that are easy to witness to. Sometimes it's easy to look at that person that, oh, there's a good prospect right there because they don't look intimidating to me. And then we see that other person there that is so intimidating, we say, oh, Lord, please don't ask me to go to them. I could never do that. And I will say this and I'll say it again. I've said it so many times. Some of those people that we think are the scary ones are sometimes a lot more ready than the other people that look like they are not so scary. So many times. Those will be witnesses. I remember the time that I was at State Street in Madison, Wisconsin. I'll tell you what, that ministry was scary. In my flesh, I did not like it. When I say flesh, I'm talking about not my sinful, wicked flesh. I'm talking about just my body. I did not like that ministry because it was pressure. You went to this crazy place Friday nights. It was the University of Wisconsin. There is action all over the place, and it's not good stuff. I mean, it's just a big party place. And we would go out, from school, and a group of students, we would take a bus down there. We'd go down there, and we would load up with tracts and our Bibles, and we would go out there, and you find people to witness to. And I'll tell you, there was one time that there was a group of just a big old mob of guys, and they just looked like a group of guys that would have no carousing doing what they want. And why in the world the Lord said, Sean, I want you to go talk. I tell you what, and I fought it for a while, and I was scared to death. I'm really thankful that I obeyed, because I took my Bible and I walked up to that one guy. And I just started talking to him. I opened up the scriptures, and I'd love to tell you that he got saved that night. But you know, I expected this guy to curse me out and to tell me to go somewhere and do this and that. I was afraid that the guy was gonna, knock me out, to tell you the truth. I talked to that guy, and just as nice, as sweet as anybody else in this building would have talked to me. He talked to me and whatever like that. And I'll tell you what, he didn't get saved, but God did something in my life. And I was like, you need to stop being a respecter of people. And I can't say that I got it. But we need to trust the Lord. God doesn't respect people that way. When he's not a respecter of persons, that means he doesn't overlook people. He took this man that was an outcast in this society and said, listen, you're going to get saved today. Why should we do anything different? Folks, we need to follow Jesus in his steps and not be a respecter of persons. Wow, they murmured and said, that he had gone to be a guest with this man that is a sinner. You know what? Jesus came to save who? To seek and to save that which is lost. There's another passage. Jesus says, I didn't come, for the righteous. I came for the wicked. I came for the sinners. Those are the ones that need to be saved. There's a lot of people in this earth that you can clearly tell those are the sinners. Those are the people that we need to go to those people. A lot of people are too good to be saved in their minds. We need to go to the ones that know they're not. And God can do work in their hearts. I want to see you lastly and fourthly, last couple minutes. So, let's review. Number one, God always blesses seekers. He's always going to bless the seeker. Number two, God can orchestrate events so that this can happen. God can make it work. Of course, we need to pray and we need to look for it. And we can expect him. Step out by faith. Number three, God is not above anyone when it comes to salvation, nor respect of persons. Neither should we. Number four, and last, God's mission is to seek and save lost people. Now, I've said that already, but his mission is to seek and save lost people. Look at verse 10. The last verse, and this is where we get so much of what we talk about. For the Son of Man is come. That's his purpose. We talked about that this morning. He has come to this earth to seek those people out. He wants to find those people who are willing and ready and ripe to hear. He wants to seek those people. Now let me stop. If that's who Jesus wanted to find, shouldn't we be looking for those people? Yeah, we need to find them. I don't know about you, but it's one thing to go door to door and knock on, and you have no idea who's there. But I love it when I'm going to people that are interested already. I love that. It's fun. In fact, I almost feel guilty, like, boy, maybe I should be going to those ones that are just going to, give it to me. You know what? Why would we do that? Why wouldn't we want to find those people that are ready? What is wrong with praying before we go out on Saturday, God, would you lead us to the people that are ready? And only He can do that, which we've already established. God, why wouldn't You lead us to the people that are ready? And I believe that if we would fervently pray for that, God would grant that. And I would believe that the few people that show up here on a Saturday morning to go out and do that, some of you would even agree with me and say, God has done it in the past few times when we have gone out. We specifically started the prayer meeting. God, would You please give us people who are ready? You know what? It's not wrong to go to somebody who's not ready necessarily. And maybe God would use that as a planting and a watering. It's not a waste of time, but really lead us to the ones that really are ready. Maybe God has already planted, He's already watered, and God is just waiting for somebody to come by like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and just to pull him right in. Wouldn't it be fun, like Philip the evangelist, to be going through your week this week and find somebody sitting there reading the scriptures and look up at you and say, you know, maybe you would ask them, do you know what you're reading? Like, no, can you tell me? Wouldn't that be a blessing to any one of you this week? Why wouldn't you pray for it? Why wouldn't we pray for that? No, God's not that good, right? God's not that good to give us somebody like that. Certainly we got to really work hard for it and pull it out of somebody. No, I believe that God wants to give us Ethiopian eunuchs. God wants to give us Zacchaeuses that are ready. The question is do we want it? Do we want it enough to ask for it? God's mission is to seek and to save lost people. I have no doubt that anybody in this room, whether you're scared to death to witness to people and you're so struggling over soul winning and all that stuff, I have no doubt in my mind that if God gave you some people that were easy catches, it would catch on and you'd get a burden. So if you're sitting here tonight and you say, Pastor, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, I'm not going to identify, and I don't even know who you are. But if you secretly would say, Pastor, inside, I'm one of those ones you're talking about, that I just feel like I would die to talk to somebody about the Lord. I just don't know how I could do it. I just don't know, but I know that it's right. And I'd be willing to do it if you would give me somebody. That if you would just this week stop and say, God, would You even be so good to bless me with somebody that is ready to hear the gospel? God, would You do that for me? Now you say, preacher, you're going to go out on a limb in saying this, and yes, I am. But I believe God would give them to you if you really wanted it. Because that's His mission. That's His will. That's His plan. God wants to do that. The reason why we don't see them is because we have coverings over our eyes and our ears. And we're scared of it. We don't want any part of it. What could God do with 50 people? 50 scared people that said, Lord, I'm willing, but I'm asking You to provide me with a person. Somebody, and I cannot tell you if they're going to be sitting in a covered wagon. Probably not, like the Ethiopian eunuch. I can't tell you if they'll be sitting in a car or in your driveway or at the park or wherever you go. I don't know how it will be. But I do know this, when that person, when you either make it there or they make it to you, I believe that there will be inside of your spirit a little ding, ding, ding that says, now, Sean, I've provided you a person. Now, you just step out by faith and say something. Just say something. Just give them that track and invite them to that church service. Just would you do something? Would you just do that? And my question to you tonight is, this is just the last point. There's a lot of things we've learned tonight. But would you be willing to ask God to lead you to a Zacchaeus this week? And would you be willing to trust God enough to, when that Zacchaeus is there and he's sitting there in the tree, to, oh boy, Lord, I can't believe You actually did it. Here goes. Lord, help.
Sometimes it's just a word of, how are you doing today? You know, for me, sometimes that's all it takes is just a, you know, I've gone different places and you're waiting for that person, nobody's talking, you know, because they don't know you, you don't know them, and you're sitting there. The hardest thing is to start a conversation. That's the hardest thing. Now, some of you, it's not that hard. For others, it's harder. You just don't know what to say and your heart's beating or whatever. Honestly, start off by, boy, it's a beautiful day out today, isn't it? It's raining and you're like, it's a beautiful day because God saved me. Whatever, however, I'm not going to give you all the ideas and how you'll use it, but I want to tell you something. God can give you people that are ready. You got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. And when that little tapping, that little ding, ding, ding comes, and you'll know who it is. You'll just take a step of faith and let it happen. I want to tell you, you know, will they get saved? I can't guarantee that, but we can be assured that God led you to do that because that's exactly what that person needed at that point in time. He's the one that gives the increase. We got to trust Him to do His work. Your job is not to save that person. You can't save anybody. Your job is to just pray for it, look for opportunities, and when God says ding, 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 open up your mouth. God will do the rest. Now, I know for some of you that's difficult and that's hard, but would you trust the Lord? I want to encourage you. Maybe this morning I was a little bit more hard. But tonight I want to be soft. I want to say, you can do it. I know you can. Not because of you, but I know God can do it. See, the focus tonight is not Zacchaeus. The focus tonight is Jesus. Jesus is looking to help situations like that. And God can do it. I think it would be neat if we would all take that step of faith tonight. I think it would be neat if 50 people tonight bowed their head in just a moment when we sing the invitation song. And if 50 people would say, Lord, I'm scared, but would you bring a Zacchaeus into my life this week? There would have to be some results. I would say there would have to be. Because that's His will. That's His plan. I'm excited for next week. I hope that that happens. And I'm going to start by saying, I'm going to pray that. I'm going to pray that. I hope you'll do it with me. Father, Lord, would you give me a Zacchaeus this week? God, would you give me somebody that needs to hear the truth of the gospel? God, I'm trusting you to go before me, go before that person and to work in their heart and their life. And would you do a work that would create the opportunity, put them in that tree, put them in that spot, put me in that spot? Lord, would you give us, let me finish praying for me. Lord, would you help me? And Lord, would you give me that individual that I would by faith, step out by faith and take that first step and start to share the truth? Lord, you would take it from there and you can do with it what you want. Again, it's not our responsibility to save people, it's yours. But it's our responsibility to step out by faith and open up. Lord, God, I pray that in my life this week you would give me opportunities like this, more than one. I would love more than one. God, give me multiple opportunities. But then, Lord, I'm gonna also take up my brothers and sisters that are sitting in here this evening. And I'm going to ask that you would do that in their lives. Now, there might be some that don't want it. Lord, I pray that you would work in their heart, they would desire it. But Lord, I do pray that there would be some people in this room tonight that they would be praying while I'm praying right now the same thing. God, would you give us some Zacchaeuses this week? That we could open up the scriptures and that we could share with them the truth of the gospel. Lord, and maybe that somebody would come to trust Jesus this week, just like with what happened that day with Zacchaeus. This day with Zacchaeus. Lord, would you help us? So Lord, I'm looking forward to what you're going to do with it. I know you're going to bring people into my life. I know you will. I'm trusting you're going to do the same thing with them. Lord, may it be said tonight that many of us, maybe all of us, would make this decision. Lord, help. Give strength to the feeble need. Lord, would you give courage to those that are weak that they would do and answer your bidding, Lord, help. For it's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.